Okay, we're going to be talking about,
good morning,
making the most of less. We've always heard, do more with less. Well, this is about making the most of less, collaborative targeting of chlamydia tests when the budget requires rationing. And I'll be going over why we developed a chlamydia allocation system, some strategies we used, and our experience and findings and next steps. We got into the business of targeting and allocation because of what was going on with our budget. Our state lab had been using the EIAs for years, wanted to make the move to NATS, nucleic acid amplification tests, but held off on that for a while because we knew that that would double, at least double our lab costs. We did 3 years worth of requests to the legislature to get additional funding. We were unsuccessful. We reached the point where the state lab said, hey, we gotta go ahead with this or the manufacturer's gonna cut us off. So we decided to go ahead, and that meant we've got to figure out a way to make major cuts in the actual testing that we do. Our funding is 75% federal, 25% state at the time that this allocation system was developed. And as I go through this, I'm going to be talking about chlamydia singles. Whenever I say tests, allocations, chlamydia, I really am speaking about chlamydia only because our state lab still does GC cultures, so we have that to cover our GC side of things. Once we realized the magnitude of the cuts that we were going to have to make, we also realized that we would have to include everybody up front. So this was a very collaborative effort with state STI, state lab, state family planning, and local health departments statewide. We had many issues to address through the collaborative process, several allocation issues. The first and most important one was to make sure that we came up with a fair distribution system. And then we had several targeting issues that we wanted to address. Lab implementation, they had to deal with a very short timeline for conversion to NATS because it was August 1st, 2008, you know, grant writing season. They came around and said, hey, we really need to make this move by January 1st, 2009. So that was a pretty short timeline for us to develop a whole new system and then for them to develop data entry, specimen processing, tracking, you know, all of the work that they had to do also. We started with developing our allocation formula. We started first by looking at the, let's see if I can get this little clicker to work. Started with our, by calculating how many tests we thought we could buy with our budget. Again, aiming at chlamydia singles, and we were looking at 26,862. I'll just call it 27,000. This was our target amount. And then our epidemiologists worked backwards from that, looking at the testing that had been successfully targeted to the 15 to 24-year-olds in 2007, and taking each county's proportion of that total testing and using that to come up with each county allocation. Next, we looked at current practices, starting with lab data, and our epidemiologists did iterative, I love that word, iterative assessments of volume and positivity by gender, age, site type, and individual site. And when I'm saying site here, I don't mean pharyngeal, rectal. I mean, is it an STD clinic, a family planning clinic, a detention center, you know, a school clinic, things like that. I realized that after, you know, after I put this together and then a few days of sessions, it's like, oh, site, location would have been a better word. We also attempted to assess what was going on in terms of missed opportunities. Because of the nature of EIA, that it required a vaginal swab or cervical swab, we previously had been unable to reach some, you know, higher risk, potentially higher risk clients, such as emergency contraception or pregnancy test visits in the family planning. When we tried to assess the volume of those, we found that a little difficult to get to using the Ehlers family planning database, so that ended up being more of an estimate. And then in the process of looking at all the testing that had been coming to the state lab in 2007, we found that there were 200 locations reporting, and some of these we knew full well what they were, you know, the classic STD and family planning clinics. And then there was quite a wide range of state and local agencies, such as community colleges and state colleges, detention centers, and then a lot of non-governmental sites. Some of these had gotten into where they just sent the lab specimens directly to the lab, and we weren't really, hadn't been aware, fully aware of all the places that we're submitting to the state lab. So we had plenty of them to figure out. So as we move forward, we had two key strategies: reduce the number of sites reporting to the submitting to the state lab, and to improve the targeting of chlamydia tests. Reducing submitters. This is where local collaboration really, really was very important. Each county was given a 2007 test volume, a list of all the submitters located within their geographical boundaries. And believe me, they didn't know who all the people were submitting to the state lab within their boundaries either. But we gave very, very detailed lists that showed positivity by site, age, and sex for each of those locations. And then here's where the rubber really meets the road. Local STD and family planning programs jointly reviewed their 2007 submitter list because they had to work together to figure out which locations within our county do we want to keep on our very restricted volume of allocation. Some counties, STD and family planning is really the same person on different days. Other counties, these are two very large, separate organizations that may not have spoken to each other for years. We had to actively, you know, at state STD, state family planning had to actively facilitate this process, this coordination process in a couple counties. I know you can't read it, but it's like, this is the level of detail that we provided to each county so that they could become familiar with what was going on and take it the next step. So we gave them some guidance on how general approach to reducing submitters. In the green, again, we start with our magic number down here, the 26,862 of what we calculated we could afford. And that is the amount that was going to be spread out over the counties. Up top in the green, that's the local health department line, and you know, paid for out of our IPP and state funds. And so they would have to work to see how, you know, what they would keep for family planning and STD. In orange, these are other local and state agencies. This means they have public funds available, and the state lab can keep funds from other public agencies. So as much as possible, we told counties, you can either keep local and state agencies in your allocation if you want, or tell us and we will tell them, you know, bring your own money, make your own contract with the state lab. The bottom group, private and other providers, other providers, the state lab cannot keep private funds. They can receive the money, but it goes into the state general fund. So lab ends up operating for free. So we told the counties, again, if you want to keep any of the private providers on your particular allocation, you can. Otherwise, tell us and we will send them a letter that says, you know, dear John, sorry, but you're going to have to, you know, go to the private lab sector for your test now. And here's what they decided. Within STD and family planning, they did some streamlining on their own STD and family planning clinic sites. So there was a slight reduction in the number of sites that would be reporting. In the orange, those are the other local and state agencies. And some of those they kept within their own county allocation. Some of those they said, hey, send that letter. And then some of the local and state, other local and state agencies brought their own money to the table, developed their own contract with the state lab. Juvenile services, you'll see, is marked not applicable because they, for several years, have had their own money and their own direct contract with the state lab. Private, the private sector, very, very few of those sites were picked up by the counties on their allocations. Those mostly, you know, had to go to the private lab sector. Our second strategy was to improve targeting, and we had our STD and family planning medical consultants work together to put together a draft, which we then took through several meetings of process to have it become our joint STD family planning medical guidelines for testing. And this emphasized targeted testing in females 25 and younger, and we have this slight, you know, parsing of terms here, targeted testing, targeted screening. For STD clinics and then family planning clinics, there's a little bit more definition of which of those clients under 25 would be tested or screened. The list gets longer when you get to the who not to test or target. Contacts and males or females with signs and symptoms go directly to presumptively treat. And then the no routine testing applies pretty broadly, males, females over 26, pre-IUD visits, contraceptive visits. Now, these were not strict prohibitive requirements. These were guidelines. Clinicians could, you know, make their own decisions based on the client in front of them and on their own judgment. And there did continue to be testing in males and females over 26. DHMH lab, our state lab, of course, was busy off on their own side getting ready for this also, getting their equipment up, doing all their training, setting up systems to track the allocation. They decided to use stickers, so we had numbered stickers that went to each county. This led to all kinds of sticker things. There were sticker stewards, there's sticker tracking, there's, you know, contemplation of a sticker black market. I mean, it's, you know, what's the street value of a sticker? I mean, they're roughly $10. So, you know, we had sticker fun. And it's all, you know, it's what was the last year's color, what's next year's color going to be? We also decided up front that we had to have routine monitoring and feedback built in from the beginning. The state lab decided to do a monthly sticker report that would let counties know how are they doing, what have they been using, what do they have left. And from our STI center, our epidemiologists do routine reporting on positivity by site, location, sex, and age, so that they can see how they're doing with their targeting. How'd we do in our first year? First off, you'll see that our first year started started in February. We didn't quite make that January 1st start date, but we compared February, December through December of 2009 to a baseline year of calendar year 2008, and we see that the targeting, as in terms of increasing the proportion of tests that went to females under age 25, definitely improved from 55% of the total to 73% of the total, with a related decrease in the other categories. So we did continue to have testing in females over 26 and in males, but those proportions decreased. Positivity also really improved in females under 25, went from 6.6% to 8.4%, and also improved in the other categories. So those worked very well. The very interesting thing here is we look at that number in red at the bottom for total of tests, and that's not quite our magic number of 27,000. It's 20,333. So we had under-testing happening. Here everybody was worried about over-testing, going over their limits. But, you know, here we had under-testing. So year one, lessons learned, some successes. We really improved the positivity. And there was very good strengthening of collaboration at state and local levels between STD and family planning. Areas for improvement. Boy, did we have some of those. One of them was, we had been very concerned that I think the whole worry of running over their allocation was a big scare or big concern to people. We noticed that mid-year and said, okay, you can do more testing. You know, you're not going to go over your limits. But then by year end, one of the things that we realized was that local health departments were not assessing their usage across sites. They weren't comparing. So like one at the end of the year, three of their five locations might have heaps of stickers left over, whereas other two locations had run out. So they weren't using their reports to redistribute mid-year. And then the other thing that really was quite a surprise to us, but very critical, is that they hadn't made the move to urine specimens. We thought that they would love having this, but I think there were too many years of saying it's too expensive, and they kept doing swabs. So we continued to miss our missed opportunities in that first year. So, of course, that means more education and review and get back out. So for year two, we have already been doing a lot of training and communicating to local health departments, yes, urine's okay, and emphasizing the need for mid-year monitoring and redistribution. And the state lab is doing their most recent upgrade in assays. Next steps, we get to do this again. The the budget that is in our state legislative session right now that ends in April will be cutting the state general fund portion, which is currently about 25% of the funds that we have for IPP testing. So we will get to do this process again this summer. And we hopefully by this fall will have enough data that we can review our testing guidelines. We had thought that we would just be reviewing them in terms of are we targeting properly for positivity, but we will be looking both at how we're targeting for positivity and also what can we afford. So recommendations, develop alternative funding sources and inclusion of key partners from the beginning is crucial. Leave as much as possible to the local level for prioritization and allocation, and evaluate, monitor frequently with lots of feedback to implementing agencies. I'd like to acknowledge the very, very intensive effort of many people on the project team across several agencies. And any questions?